Let's pray and then we'll jump right in. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for today, Lord, and for this time together. And I pray that you will just bless each lady as she speaks, Lord. I know some are super nervous, and I pray that you will calm their hearts and calm my heart. Help me to say what only you want me to say, Lord. And I pray that you'll be with Kelly as she is teaching and then needs to go catch a plane home, and give her safety. And thank you for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to turn to James 3, you can. I am new to glasses. So I brought my glasses to read my Bible, but they're progressive, so I'm struggling, you know, so I can't wear them all the time. So I print it out because I like to read when I'm teaching. So I made it really huge. Someone had the last one. He's like, could you make it any bigger? But I want to be able to glance down and see what I can see and not have to search terribly for it. So anyways, I get teased a lot. Today, our topic is words, and I'm going to begin. I'm going to kind of jump right in. Mariah, can I ask you to, let me know, when it's 1:45? Because we're going to try to stay on schedule. So, and then I'd like to get out and help Kelly get to her car so she could catch a plane. But I'm going to begin by asking four questions. And so just listen to the questions, and it's not questions you have to answer, but in your mind, think of the answer. What is the meanest thing anyone has ever said to you?
Meanest
or unkind thing anyone has ever said to you. Think about it in your head. Thank you, Ashley. She printed off some verses for me. I appreciate it. I'm sure we all probably have several. Several mean things. Who said it? Stop and think who said it. Maybe it was someone that you didn't know. Maybe it was someone close to you. When I was flying, Lance was 2.5, and I would fly to my parents. It was a short, 1 hour flight. And so I'm very conscious, or I always was, on an airplane of my children, not being crazy and wild and screaming. And, obviously, if their ears hurting, you can't help that. But he was on my lap, so he must have been under 2 because he didn't need his own seat. And he had accidentally kicked her seat twice. But I was so conscious. I didn't, he wasn't, have you ever sat on a plane and someone behind you just kicks and then they don't stop them from kicking? It wasn't like that. It was accidental, just a couple times. And the lady on the plane said to the other lady, she said, that little wretch, she called him a wretch, that little wretch kid behind me is kicking my seat. And I heard it and I thought, she just called my son a wretch. He is the sweetest little boy. He only did it twice. He did not mean to. And so I'm not a very bold person typically, and so I we're getting ready to land. I kept thinking, it's okay, let it go. It's no big deal, and she said some other things. I couldn't hear everything she said, but she was talking about my baby boy, and so we got off the plane. I said hi to my parents, and it was just eating at me. And so I thought, he did not deserve that. He's not a brat. He was actually a very obedient little kid, and he was not bad the whole flight. So I said hi to my parents. I gave them Lance, and I walked over to the baggage claim because we're all getting our bags. And I just went up to her and I said, "Ma'am," I said, I sat behind you on the plane, and it was my son who kicked your seat, and I'm sorry for that. But he did not do it more than twice. He did not mean to. He is under 2, and he is not a wretch. And I just want you to let you know that he's a very good little boy, and I do not appreciate you calling my son a name. And she apologized. But our words hurt sometimes, don't they? That's kind of a silly illustration, but words cut deep. Sometimes we could throw them around, and they cut deeper than we mean them to. But so think about that. What's the meanest thing anyone has ever said to you? That's not the meanest thing. That just was something. They can be hurtful, painful, and even they can shape you. Those words and unkind things can shape your image of yourself, because you remember, when you remember these things, I remember that, but I have forgiven that lady. Forgive and forget isn't... usually you typically don't forget. I wish we could, but we don't. So just because you remember doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. So other people's words shape us. And then think about this. Our words shape other people, which can be scary, you know. If you're a mom and have little kids, or you're a grandma or an aunt or whatever, or a teacher, you are shaping your kids or those kids with your words. I've had really good teachers that were awesome, and I had a mean second grade teacher, and he had an influence on many of us kids, but he would yell at us, he would throw erasers at us, he was so mean. So we are shaping somebody. So number two, now stop and think, what is the nicest or most loving thing anyone has ever said to you? You know, take a minute to think of that. Whatever that is. And then who said it? Now, usually that's going to be something strengthening or encouraging. And those things shape us too. You know, like when we talk in encouraging words to our kids, or if we're married to our husbands and we're encouraging, that is building or shaping someone too. Those, you know, they can be kind words or unkind words. Both of them have the same weight. It's amazing, you know, words can sometimes hit people as hard as, like, if you hit them with your hand. You know, words can actually do more damage sometimes. So the nicest thing ever said to you, it made you feel good about yourself. It should have. When we were coming to Connecticut, and I think I mentioned this a little bit in my session on marriage, my husband was a youth pastor, and he was over media and music and different things like that in California. And my husband thought God was calling him to pastor, and he was actually fighting him on it because he did not want to pastor. He did not want to leave. He liked where we were, and so God had already worked in my heart that whatever happens, whether I didn't know what that meant, I really thought maybe. Because I liked working with teenagers. I loved it. Everyone thought it was crazy. We had done it for 22 years, and I loved it. I thought, okay, God's going to move us out of teenagers, you know. And I was sad, but I thought, okay, I've got to be ready to whatever it is. So God was already working in my heart, be surrendered to whatever. So, and we had already gone through cancer, so that kind of makes you ready for anything, kind of, after that. So one day my husband said, what do you think God's doing? He didn't want to say it, you know. So I said, are you really asking me? Because I didn't want to tell him. Like, I had kind of set on this for a year because I didn't want to be the one, I think God is telling you, you know, because what if I'm wrong? Which I'm usually wrong. So anyways, I said, I think God is calling you to pastor. And he said, oh, man, because that's what he thought, but he didn't want to do it. And I told him, it's funny because I just kind of said what I said and didn't think a whole lot about it, but he has mentioned it several times. I said, God's been telling me, and I think God's calling you to pastor, and that you are just trying to work through it. You think it's maybe like a midlife crisis or something that you're trying to work through, but it's not that God is calling you to do something different. And I said, I think you're afraid because you don't think you can do it. And I said, I think you're using me and the kids as an excuse to, you know, stay in our, because we were in a comfortable spot. And I said, I just want you to know I'm surrendered. The kids are going to be okay. And I know if God is calling you to preach, I know you can do it. You know, you can. You're a great preacher. And I know that you have the ability to follow God and do it. Well, I never imagined those words in that moment would have such a big impact on him, but they did. He remembers it more word for word to this day of what I said, because it breathed like courage, you know, and encouragement into his heart. And so our words, you know, and at the time I did not realize, you know, just talking, you know, to me it was just saying something. But to him, he still remembers everything to this day, and it gave him the courage and okay to go forward. So number three, think of this. So something unkind, something good that has been said to you. And then number three, which of those people do you want to be to others? Which one do you want to be? I know I don't want to be. We've all accidentally been the unkind one, you know. We have, you know, whether we have meant to or not. Some people are maybe more mean than others, and some people actually enjoy being unkind. But which one do you want to be to others? I don't want to be the unkind person. I don't want to be remembered as the one who, you know, always said all the negative, you know. There are Eeyore people, you know, that are more negative and always have the negative side of things. But the difference between the first person in your mind and the second person in your mind is the development of a filter of our words. So, you know, that first person just said whatever, unkind to you. You know, they said something about Lance. They called him, you know, an unkind word just without thinking because it just came out. They didn't filter their words, so the first person doesn't think and doesn't filter their words, and then the second person, who's kind and says kind and good things, filters their words. A filter causes you to carefully use your words the way that they were designed to be used. All of us have the capacity to be both of these people, and we all probably have been at one time or another. Our words, and this is important, our words have the ability to crush people or to lift them up. And that's, it's amazing, just like, it's amazing to me really how powerful words are. You know, they're more powerful than so many things, and you can't get them back, you know. My daughter was teasing me when I was talking up there, and I said, coffee, what did I say, Mariah? Coffee is intriguing to me. I said, coffee is intriguing to me. And as soon as I said it, I thought, that is so silly. Why did that come out of my mouth? I just bring it back in. But then my daughter Haley texted me, coffee is intriguing to me. Ha 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 ha. She was teasing me. Thank you, Haley. I knew that was a good thing to say, but once it's out there, you can't stop it. So I've been laughing about that. I actually, since I got asked to speak on words, I have said the more goofiest things. I mix my words up all the time, but I have said more things, you know, just goofy things, mixing things up, and they'll tease me. You're speaking on words, you know. And so, anyways, that's been the big joke. Okay, point number four. We're asking the fourth question would be, number three was which of those people do you want to be to others? Mm-hmm. And then the fourth question is, which of those people do you want to be to yourself? That seems like kind of a funny question, but I'm going to read James 3 really quick. And this I'm going to put my glasses on for. James 3, verses 2 through 4. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter of fire, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And then it goes on to say, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So the example that we see in James is, you know, anybody ride a horse before? You know, you're riding, I've only ridden a couple times, but, you know, to turn the horse, you turn and that little bit, you know, makes the horse go straight or left or right. Just that little tiny thing in that horse's mouth, you know, hopefully, if the horse is obedient, that can be another thing. But that little bit in its mouth, you know, makes that whole big giant horse go a certain direction. And then in James, he talks about the rudder of a ship. You know, it can be a huge ship, and the rudder tells it, you know, which way to go, you know, left, right, straight, however. And just that piece of equipment guides that whole ship. So the Bible's comparing that to our tongue. Our words guide our heart. The words you're having with yourself in your mind and with others are what direct your whole life. So our words guide our heart. Okay, I'm going to skip over here. Our words shape our heart, and then they come out of our mouths. You know, usually what we think on and what we dwell on ends up coming out at some point, doesn't it? What you're putting in eventually comes out. So in light of that, be careful what we put into our own minds. But if you have children, what you let your kids listen to, what we listen to, the news. Like, I don't like to watch the news. I just never have. it can be negative, can't it? And yeah, and it, you know, my husband likes to watch the news, but he recently made a decision to, you know, maybe catch up on the highlights of it, but not to listen to it too much. And to, instead of that, he has an app that he listens to the Bible on. And those are great. It's funny getting used to the voices. You know, the voice on there is a little funny hearing it being read. But he has been able to listen to so many verses and chapters and books already just since January. But the news, just what you put in, I mean, I don't know, it never makes me happy, you know, but it can leave you so negative feeling. Words are formational to you and to others. And because our words are so formational, it's vital that we consider what a filter means and how to develop it. James teaches us that the tongue is powerful to others, but it also teaches us that it's powerful what you say to yourself. Your own words are incredibly powerful over you. When I was studying for this session, I was kind of my own worst enemy, because I was actually, I kept thinking, oh, I don't know where to go with this. I don't know what to do. And I, you know, I had all this stuff spread out. I was sitting on the couch and, you know, all these pages open on my computer, and I was just trying to piece it all together. And my husband was laughing at me, because he said, you're overthinking it. And I said, that's because you can stand up and teach about anything. You know, I can't do that. I don't have that ability, you know. I mean, he can be told a subject and be able to talk about it. I can't do that. But I was actually talking myself out of the session. I thought, I cannot do this. I cannot talk about words. It's just too much. But I was my own worst enemy. So this last point seems kind of strange, and you might not know where we're going with it, how our words affect us, but just hold on for a minute. So number one, we really only have two main points. The first is our unfiltered words. Have you ever had unfiltered coffee by accident? I'm not a coffee drinker, but I have made it before, and it in the Keurig thing and the grounds, I forgot to put something in, then grounds all went through, and yeah. It was either Haley or my husband who drank it, and it was terrible. But nobody, I don't think anybody would drink unfiltered coffee, although the facts they're reading in there are so crazy to me, some of those facts. But all the grains get in it, and you don't want to drink the grains of the coffee. So you have a drink, and it's enjoyable, but if it's gritty and bitter and the grains are in it, then it's not any good. So the unfiltered you, or, you know, that unfiltered words that we might say, that's kind of the same effect. So we have two versions of ourselves. We have the unfiltered version of us, where we accidentally say things that, you know, they just come out, or we purposefully, in anger, you know, because we're mad or we're in a fight with somebody or whatever, and we say things that are hurtful that we shouldn't say. And I think we've all probably done that and then had to go back and say, I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have said all of that, you know, without thinking. But that unfiltered version is saying whatever you want, throwing your words around like they don't matter. And that's the unspirited version of us. The unspirit-filled me is that part of just gushing and saying, you know, what is on my mind. And that's not always the wisest thing to do. The Bible says a fool uttereth all his mind, doesn't it? James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Growing in the gospel necessarily, it involves confronting and dealing with the unfiltered version of yourself. And that's not easy to do, is it? To realize when you've been wrong and to admit that you've been wrong. That's not easy to do. Sometimes we purposefully hurt someone because we're mad or because we're angry and we say what we think in that moment, and maybe it's true, you know, but sometimes the way we say things, even if they're true, are still unkind. Sometimes I know I have accidentally said something, you know, not meaning to be unkind or not meaning to say it the way it came across, and it's come across unkind or hurtful, and I didn't even mean it that way. Text messaging is, if you text message, does you guys text in here? That's easy to come across, you know, because maybe, you know, like if a lady's, if we're talking about something I'll always just say, let me just call you, because it's easier, because sometimes in a text message, you know, like my husband could text me something, and I'll read it and think, oh, he's so short or irritated sounding, but really he's not, he's just stating a, you know, so if you're talking about a sensitive subject or a disagreement or an important topic, it's best not to do over text message, because it comes across like you're short, or emails kind of the same way, you know. It could come across short and unkind when really it wasn't meant that way, you know, but they can't hear, you know, maybe I could say the same thing in person, but maybe my tone and my facial expressions, you know, express it differently than a text message or an email would. So we have to be careful with stuff like that. So we've all purposefully said things unkind, unfiltered, and then we have accidentally done the same thing, not meaning to, you know, but it can still be hurtful. And then number two is the filtered version of ourselves. James 3:8 says, the tongue can no man tame. No man can command the tongue and tame the tongue. So it's not that you can control your tongue. The point is your tongue controls you. You cannot tame your tongue. The Bible says we can't. In James 3:8, the tongue can no man tame. It can't be tamed and limit its power. Our tongue has a lot of power, but it can be guided. Just like, you know, the ship is guided by that rudder or whatever it's called. Our tongue can be guided. You know, maybe we can't totally tame it, like the Bible says we can't, but it can be guided. And you can direct your tongue. You can't remove its power, but you can harness that power. Our words are so powerful. A fire, you know, that doesn't burn, you know, but the coals are still there and it's hot. A fire is awesome. You know, my husband loves to have fires in the fireplace, but, you know, if fire in itself isn't bad, you know, when it's contained and in the fireplace, you know, and it's still hot, you know, it's not like you can have a fire and it not be hot, but if it's contained in the fireplace, it's okay. It's contained. A fire that isn't contained, you know, and gets out of the fireplace and takes over, then that's a bad thing. That's kind of like our tongue. You know, our tongue is powerful. We can't make it not powerful, our words, but we can contain it and guide it. So that's kind of the picture. Choose your words carefully. Choose your words and you choose your destination. So we're going to talk right now. We've talked about unfiltered words and filtered words, and how we both, you know, have done both. We've both said unfiltered. We've both said how to filter at times. Maybe you're a person that tends to say what's on your mind more and not use a filter as often. The last point we're going to talk about is developing a filter for our words. We're all growing in the skill of using our words to honor the Lord, and to direct our own lives and to bless and to guide and help others. Encouraging words. Never engage in issues online. Just like I was talking about emails. You know, sometimes I know, like my husband and I, we don't. A lot of people on Facebook or different things will, you know, talk about, and I don't get on Facebook super often, so I'm not talking about anybody in here because I don't know any of your Facebook. But some people will get on there and say, you know, every negative thing that happened that day from the time they got up in the morning, or, you know, or they'll talk about political issues, or, you know, all negative or doctrinal, all sorts of stuff, you know. And we just try not to engage in that, because it's really, it doesn't have a purpose, you know, other than you all these people, you know, giving their opinion and fighting and bickering and different things like that. So don't use your words just to vent on social media. Because, like, if I'm having a bad day and I tell everybody every little bad thing that I had happen that day, you know, or I got in a fight with my husband or whatever and I reveal it on, you know, social media, then I'm going to be okay, you know, probably the next day, you know, but it's all out there. You know, my words are already still out there somewhere. Even if I delete it, you know, people have seen it. So you can't get those words back. So don't vent on social media, or, you know, even, you know, be careful about, you know, we all have to have somebody that we can go to and talk to when we're struggling. You know, we want to be careful about telling everybody every bad thing, you know, that we're going through, or, you know, this lady said this to me, and being gossipy. We don't want to be that way. So in order to develop a filter, number one, we need to daily yield control of our lives to the Holy Spirit. Daily yield control of our lives to the Holy Spirit and ask for His filling and His direction. It's a daily thing. You know, I mean, you can have a good day today and then go home tomorrow and have a terrible day, you know. So daily we have to say, okay, God, you know, please help me today. Help me to have a good attitude. You know, have a good spirit. Help me to be kind to my family. Oh, it's so funny, but sometimes after like a couples retreat or after a ladies conference, sometimes trials come, don't they? So you go home. So, you know, we go home, we make a decision about, you know, using our words more carefully or being more kind or whatever. And then, you know, the devil is going to attack those decisions, you know. Maybe if you have a family, you're going to walk in the door and everything is a mess and crazy. Yeah. So I used to come home, and sometimes I'd come home, my husband would have tried to clean and, you know, have it picked up. And other times, you know, when I'd come home from a conference, it was just chaotic and, you know. But that's life. I mean, some days I can keep it all together, especially when you have little kids, you know, you can keep it all together. Some days you can't. I watch my twin grandbabies once a week on Tuesdays, and you know, they're so much fun, and it's tons of fun. And I like to try to clear my day. Last Tuesday I had errands to run for the conference, so I just took them with me, and we bought flowers, and they got to help with all that, so they thought that was fun. But I try to make my day so that I can just sit and enjoy, and, you know, they're into playing games, so we play games and stuff like that. But sometimes my husband will come home for lunch, or one day their dad, Lance, had come up to the house, and I had taken the kids to the park, and I wanted to do it, I think it was before lunchtime and before nap time, so we had made a huge mess in the house. I mean, the kitchen was a mess, you know, the family room was a mess, and toys were everywhere, but I thought, I don't care, I'll pick it up during nap time, you know. So I took the kids and I left, and Lance, their dad, came up. And he doesn't typically do that, but he had come up to the house to grab lunch because he had to be quick, and we live on the hill right back here. And he texted me, whoa, because the house had stuff everywhere. But so I know, you know, some days you can, you know, I can on Tuesday keep it all picked up and still play and have fun. And some days I can't. Some days it's just, you know, playing keep up, and it's all you can do, you know, to live that day. So anyway, so when you go home, your houses may be clean, they may not be clean. Just have a happy heart either way. But the devil attacks our decisions, so be prepared for that. He just does. You know, whatever good decision you make, he attacks. And then, so number one, yield control of your life to the Holy Spirit. Number two, fill your life with the kinds of words that you want to characterize in your life. Fill your life with the kinds of words that you want to characterize your life. So then be careful, you know, what TV you watch, what, you know, I mean, I know, you know, watching certain shows, you know, some of them, you know, there's so many shows where the wife just beats up the husband the whole time, I guess, you know, on TV. So if you're not careful, you could, you know, if that's something you watch all the time, you can become like that TV show, you know, become like that character that's maybe so funny, but she's always cutting down her husband or cutting down her kids or whatever. So you have to be careful what you watch, what you put in, what you read, what music you listen to. You know, I know with our kids growing up, we were always so careful, you know, what they listen to and what we listen to as a family. And you have to be careful because, you know, those words, you know, little kids that are listening to all this horrible music, it fills your mind, and the words train you, and they become a part of your heart. So you have to be so careful. Read your Bible. So think of this in the terms of what words you're consuming. What do you think about? Just in your, don't answer the question, but think about, you know, what do you dwell on most? Is it negative? Is it, you know, positive? What are you dwelling on? We can't allow gossip and negativity and complaining to consume us. You know, I think ladies gossip probably more than men. You know, I think men do it too, but we don't want to be that person, you know, that's known as the gossip or oh man, you know, if you tell her, she's going to tell the whole church, or, you know, we don't want to be gossipy about people. and our complaining. We don't want to be the complainer. So what's, you have to filter what's being said to you. You know, you may have a friend that's like super negative all the time and it's affecting your spirit. I've been in situations like that, you know, maybe a good friend, but you know how you sometimes you can become like you hang around, maybe you have a good friend that is really good for you and she lifts you up and she draws you close to the Lord and she just is an encouragement. And, you know, we should have people like that in our lives. But maybe you have a friend that is, you know, negative, always talking about her family, her husband, her parents, whatever, you know, always negative, and maybe it's affecting your spirit and your heart. So you have to be careful. You have to guard your heart. What words are being said to you? Because ultimately, you know, if that's what you're taking in, you know, that can become a part of you. Words are shaping you before they're coming out of you. You know, like we talked about music, you know, what you're listening to is shaping you. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be careful. Words are shaping you before they're coming out of you. So we may think bad things or unkind things, and maybe they don't come out, but eventually they usually do. You know, eventually we usually say what we're thinking about. And then number three, intentionally give thought of how you will build others up every day. So who am I going to be today? Am I going to be the one who builds someone up, or am I going to be someone who tears someone down? You know, am I going to be that encourager, or am I going to be the one who's the discourager? Now, we all go through rough times, and we all get down and depressed and struggle at times. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about on an everyday basis. We all have times where we are low, and we need to be encouraged. So be that encouraging person so that when you need encouragement, you could go to the Bible or you can go to a friend to help uplift you. So intentionally give thought of how you will build others up every day. Who am I going to be today? Number four, ask those people closest to you to hold you accountable. If it's something that you struggle with, ask your friends or if you're married, ask your husband or ask somebody, you know. I think, was it Kelly who talked about that, making a decision and then talking to someone, a friend, and saying, I made this decision, hold me accountable to it. Because then, you know, when someone's holding you accountable and you know someone's going to ask you, it's easier to keep that goal or that new decision when we know we're going to be held accountable for it. This is a silly illustration, but I've been trying to exercise more. My husband's been excellent at exercising since before June, and he's been faithful at it almost every day, and he is doing awesome at it. He just got to thinking, his birthday's today, so he's 49 today. So I told him, we are having a ladies' conference for your birthday. But yeah, exciting. Yeah. Actually, he was excited because Kelly Rasmussen's husband came, and Melinda Cazes, she spoke to the teens, her husband came, and then Carlos Navarrete. So he has his good friends. Yeah. So they went to lunch, and they're having fun. So, but he has been really good at exercising. So, you know, he said, you know, man, he doesn't want to get older and not, you know, keep exercising and keep things going. So he's been really faithful at it. So after Christmas, I told him, I'll start exercising and then I stop, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it's like Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then I get all sugared up. And I, you know, anyways, then I kind of go downhill. So January, I told him, okay, I'm going to start the elliptical again. I did not do it this morning because I was too tired this morning. I did do it yesterday. But so we have an elliptical in his office, and so I told him, hold me accountable, because I can do it for a week and then I stop, you know. So, you know, not don't beat me over the head if I don't, you know. He doesn't do that, but so he'll just ask me, you know, a couple times a week, how are you doing, you know. And I told him I'm doing the Lose It app just so that I could keep count of my calories, because I have to be careful with that. So, and I get hooked on sugar. And so, and you know, I don't realize how much sugar is in this one whatever. You know what I mean? So I said, I'm going to try to make better decisions. Not counting, here we are right now. But so So he'll ask me, how are you doing? You know, are you doing good on sugar? You know, because I'm a secret candy eater. I'll go hide in the pantry and eat all the candy, then I'm done, and no one knows. But anyway, so I told him, I need help. Ask me, you know, about my exercising and about my sugar, and because I'm trying to make myself be more accountable to be more healthy, because I get sick a lot, and sugar, I know, and I've known this, people have told me, you know, and I've kind of ignored it, but I think, from what I've studied, I've tried to research it, I think when you eat more sugar, you can get sick easier, at least with me. I know it's that way.
Lower your immunity.
Yes, it lowers your immunity, and I have a low immune system anyway, so the sugar sends me on a downward spiral. So I've asked him to keep me accountable, and I've never asked him to keep me accountable before, and I know, okay, all right, do I want to do this? Oh, no, he's going to ask me in a day or two, so I'm going to be good. that has helped me. So ask someone to hold you accountable. If you tend to be hurtful, go to those you've hurt and ask forgiveness and tell them of your desire to change in this area and ask them to pray and hold you to that. Okay. If you've hurt someone, you know, and you know it, go to them and just say, oh. I've had to do that with my kids. You know, I've had a bad tone or said something snappy or, sometimes there was a time a few months ago, Haley said something to me and it was short, you know, and I said, Haley, you know, watch the way you're speaking to me. She said, okay, I will, but that's the way you just said it to me. And I know, maybe she shouldn't have said that back to me, but I did think about it and I did. I snapped that way first. Not that it's right for her, but it's not right for me either. So sometimes our children can just be mimicking what they're hearing coming out of our mouths. So be very careful. I wrote up a list of, typed out a list. So if you want to take a list of verses, just probably not all of them, but Psalms 18:6 says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple and my cry came before him, even into his ears. So our tongue, we can cry to the Lord and we can ask him to help us. Psalm 7 says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. I want to be praising the Lord and not be negative and unkind. Proverbs 11 says, a tale bearer, that's hard to say, revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So the Bible talks a lot about our tongue and our words. So there's some verses here that we brought, they're here somewhere. Oh, they're right here. That we can pass out if you don't have to take them, but if you want to, there's just some verses on our tongue and our words. And just to kind of, you know, I was doing a little bit of a study on words, and there are so many verses in the Bible that talk about our words and our spirit and, you know, and how our tongue affects others and affects us. So anyways, there's some awesome, I don't have time to read all these verses, but the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. You know, and the Bible talks so much about what we say and how powerful our words are. And I was thinking this past week of just kind of some ladies in the Bible, you know, like it doesn't say a lot, but like I wonder, her name, let me see if I wrote it here, Jochebed, Moses' mother. I wonder, you know, because she, you know, had to put him in the bulrushes, you know, Pharaoh's daughter found him, but then she got to feed him and to nurse him, you know. And I don't know exactly to what age, you know, I was reading on it. Some people say 2, some people say 5, you know, I don't know how long she had him. But she instilled in him enough, you know, scripture that he went back to it. You know, although he was raised in an Egyptian home, she instilled in him just enough. So our words are so powerful to our children. Hannah, you know, she prayed and prayed and prayed for that baby, and Samuel, and then, you know, she got to raise him till he was, you know, a young age, and then she took him to the temple, and, you know, I know he wasn't perfect, but she, you know, instilled in him a love for the Lord. And so the things that we say, you know, make a huge impact. But there's so many examples in the Bible. Those are just a couple. But our words are powerful. So as you go through your day, think, am I filtering my words or am I just unfiltering my words. And our words, filtered or unfiltered, they affect others, and then they affect ourselves too. And I didn't really, I didn't think of it, I don't think of my words affecting me. Actually, my husband's the one that made me think of that. He said, your words right now, you know, as I'm saying, oh, I don't know how to do it. I can't get this all together. He said, you're totally affecting yourself and your spirit with your own words. You're discouraging yourself. So we can discourage ourselves with our words and our thoughts and, you know, being negative about, you know, our appearance or whatever. And we can just beat ourselves up, you know. I like the house, or I have certain expectations. They talked about expectations. Mm-hmm. I expect things to be this way, or I expect that I can do all these commitments or all these things, and then I fail, you know, and I can't get it all done, and I discourage my own self. So our words affect our own hearts too. So this is just a little something to keep in mind, you know, how to filter our own words and help others and help ourselves. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we can go to our next session. Dear Jesus, thank you for today, and I pray that you will bless Jenny as she speaks and give her clarity, and bless each of these ladies as they go home today. In Jesus' name, amen.